Good evening. I saw earlier a very interesting observation I want to share with you. It's a food for thought. We don't know the Rebbe Shlomo's ways, obviously, but an interesting observation by Rebbe Moshe Arnstein. He said it was in Yerushalayim, years ago, there was three prominent families, and the truth is that those families, they are the three families, the three Yerushalayim families, all the Gedolim. Really, all the Etzod and Gedolim came from there. One of his family, there was Reb Chaim Yudalev Auerbach, Reb Shlomo Zalman's father. Besides being the father of Reb Shlomo Zalman, plenty of other Gedolim came from the Auerbachs. Reb Chaim Auerbach himself was an outstanding Rosh Yeshiva of Shaar Shemayim. Very prominent, very choshvet mishpoch of you can't count how many Talmidei Chachamim come from that family. Another family, one of the Yerushalayim, the three Yerushalayim families, is Rabbi Levin's family. Rabbi Levin himself, famous Rabbi Levin, who was himself in his own right a very special person, besides that also being the father-in-law of Rav Eliashiv and grandfather-in-law of Abraham Kanievsky, and countless other Gedolei Yisrael. Really a very, very special family, Rabbi Levin's descendants. The third family, maybe a little bit less famous, B'sol Luya. B'sol Luya was also very, very choshev mishpoch in Eretz Yisrael. Many choshev rabbonim are descendants of B'sol Luya. And it's an interesting observation that all three of them, what is it that made those three families the starting point of so many Gedolei Yisrael? Not just Gedolei, but all those families are such huge families that make a very essential part of the core body of the Tayyadig Yerushalayim. So he made an observation, and he said the observation is that Reb Chaim Lev Auerbach, he was Yoshiva of Shaar Shemayim, and there was quite a lot of Lashon Hara about him, which were incorrect and they were untrue. People said that he was wealthy and he wouldn't give all the money to the Kol, which is an untrue statement. He was poor himself and he gave anything he had to his last pair of sock. He gave to the Yungalait learning in the Kol. But there was quite a Lashon Hara about him, untrue, but there was a bit of a Rechilas about him. Similarly, Rabbi Levin, famously, he went to the prison and he visited all the sick and the Nebuchs. And but at the same time, he formed friendships and relationships with people that the very extreme right wing didn't quite like and didn't quite understand. So he was also quite a lot of Rosh Noahs about him. So Aluya had a shop, third one of those families. So Aluya had a shop, and whilst he gave all the poor people, he gave food for free. This was a very unknown fact, and it was an absolute secret. And people said he was overcharging, and he was there was a lot of Rosh Noahs about him, which was untrue. And on the contrary, he was giving everything away to the poor. So the observation is that people are sometimes, when people beschmutz and lashon horas and they speak bad things, if you don't answer back, maybe it takes a bit more time than those three. They never answered back, and who knows if that's the schos that they had, that they formed such great families, such privileged, very, very special families. Who knows that people were beschmutzing them? People had we sometimes tend to answer back and to say things. If you don't, look what happens. Look what happens. What the future has in for such people. And they love him, ve'enom oilvim, people who are shem chepasom, ve'enom oilvim, people who are sometimes have plenty of reason to be offended and answer back. But if they don't, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has got great treasures in stock for them. We're learning Simon Shin Yud Tes, and we're up to Seif Gimel, and we discussed quite a lot about Taruvos yesterday, last week. We finished off the shiur with the important halacha and din, which is mentioned and emphasized in the Mishnah Berurah, Seif Katan Tezvav, in which it states in the name of the Achronim. And I want to move on from there because there's an additional few points in the continuation of this Mishnah Berurah in Seif Katan Tezvav. That's the last two lines of the page Kuf Mem. So he said, Shem Shnei Minim. The Mishnah Berurah points out and is and holds that not only when it comes to fruits, there is oichel and psoil, is an halachas of breira, but similarly also when there is any other two items, could go on kelim of godim, clothes and other vessels, and in it also the halachas of breira do apply, shaykh breira. And I'm moving on to the top of page 280, towards the end of Sifkot and Tezvav. Valkein, therefore, tzarech livro ezeh amin shiroitze litel achshav, you should always choose, if select, what you're actually going to use, and if it's tamshus from what you're actually going to utilize, but if you pick something, a cloth or bag or something which you're not going to use, that may be also from what you're not going to use, that leave on the side. For loy lehepach, not the other way around. And it could perhaps be even that if there is a few things hanging on the wall, and a person seeks his clothes that he wants to wear now, and because of that, he wants to push away all the other items of clothes, because he pushed away what he wants. So there's one thing that he wants to choose, and in order to choose that piece of clothes, which probably is hanging, he needs to push others away. So then he says, that's not considered boira. Why not? Again, few things hanging, you want one specific. By choosing it, you're pushing others away. That's not boira. Why not?
You want a specific item. You're taking what you want.
Yeah, that's it.
You're going directly for what you want.
That's it. So that means that, imagine you have a pile, heaped up items, and you want the bottom one, the bottom pair of socks, that's the Shabbos socks, and you have to, in order to get there, you need to lift up others, you need to lift them up. So don't say, don't look this action in its own, don't look at it, I'm selecting now the one I don't want, which is psoilism to which you're not allowed to do, in order to get to the bottom. Don't look at it that way, but you're looking at the whole story, and the fact you're taking them apart in order to reach the one that you want, that's okay.
Isn't
that's
good for a player? Pushing away what you don't want to take what you
want. Well, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah Berurah. He's lafuki yusvora. That it is bur oichel mitoch psoilis. You can't expect somebody to have a magnet hand to go straight to the oichel as opposed to psoilis. If the whole action is in order to get there to the bottom one, so that's therefore going to be mutter. Yes, that's going to be fine. Is this comparable though to the shayla we asked last week about the coats? Is this comparable, yes or no? Many coats hanging Friday night in shul and you're choosing yours. And in order to choose yours, you need to take them out. Oh no, that's not mine, you need to put it back. Next one. No, that's not mine, you put it back. Oh no, that's not mine, you put it back until the very, very last one, which is going to be yours. Is that the same or not? Will that still be permissible according to the words of the Mishnah Berurah? Yes or no? What do you say? Reb Gideon. Many coats. You take one. No, that's not it. You put it back. Next one. Is it still mutter based on the words of the Mishnah Berurah that we said now?
I would say yes.
You said yes.
Because you're looking for specific, like with the shirt. You want that specific one. What's the difference?
Okay, I hold and I think, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that it is not the same and it's going to be also. When you are taking the bottom sock out of the pile, the action you're doing is physically removing the other socks in order to get to the sock that you want, in order to get to the shirt that you wish to wear. Not so when it comes to the coats which are hanging. Because when it gets to the coats you're hanging, you're actually taking one with the hope and the wish and the expectation and the wishful thinking that this is actually yours, until you realize, whoops, it's not mine, and you put it back. That's therefore, when you're actually taking it off the hook, when you're removing it, it is, you're taking it, which is the psoilus, and you're putting it back. It's not like the sock. The sock you're just removing in order to get there.
If you move the coats along.
Yeah, that's fine. That would be the equivalent. Yes, 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 I agree. That's the equivalent. Yes, 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 I agree. That's the equivalent. But by choosing one, which is the psoilus, and taking it out and then putting it back in, I think therefore it's not comparable to the Mishnah Berurah.
If you put the shirt up and put it back, that would be the same thing, then you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
If you move the shirt up and up the coat.
I believe so.
So the
I believe so. Yeah, I believe so. Continues the Mishnah Berurah. Ve'efshar im tshtuyim kam abgodim al hakoyes lemechapes achar bigdoy sheroi tzach shelov shoy. If there's a few, yeah, that we just said that, that's considered now, yeah? V'cheni munichim bekoro, if you have on the plate, kamominim yachad zeh al gab zeh, if you have on the koro a few plates, one on top of the other, v'amin sheroi tzalechol munach lemato, you have a few things lying on the plate, food items, and one is on top of the what you want to eat is in the bottom. Humesalek ele shemunachim lemalo, and you're taking away the potatoes on top that you don't want to eat. You're putting them away because you want really the food item which is in the rock bottom, so that humesalek ele shemunachim lemalo kedei shiuchal lagia, in order to reach the bottom. What I mean shelamata velitlo, you want to reach the bottom food item which is in the bottom of the pile. Lovich laber, that's not included in the melachah bore, and that is mutter. Yeah. 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 That means we're saying we're not looking at the isolation. If you just capture that minute of removing, it would appear as if you're taking it, but we're not looking at isolation. We're looking at the whole stone on its own. Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. I want to finish off the words of the Shulchan Aruch on top of page 280. Even better, if the person did select, if a person did select and he left it for later on, if you select it and you're keeping it for later, even if it's for today, Shabbos Kodesh, but if you've taken this nut for later on, you have taken the nut out of the shell, but you're not going to eat it now, you're going to eat it on Shalashu this time. Later, you are selecting it in the morning in order to eat it in the afternoon. Chayev, it's Chayev min haTorah. It's a Torah Issa. Not the Rabban, it's Torah. Because it needs to be Le'alta, in order to be Mut, it needs to be Tzerech Achila, it needs to be for now. And if it's not utilized and enjoyed and benefit from now, it's going to be also. It doesn't matter that it's going to, you're going to have it on Shabbos. Yeah. I want to mention that I always find it very fascinating, the Minhagim of Klal Yisrael. It's something which is fascinating, that all the customs in Klal Yisrael, they are very well rooted. I'm a big believer in that. And nothing, like the Gemara says, Imsochim, Imenu Neviim, Bnei Neviim, whatever Klal Yisrael does, it's always for good reason. If we are not prophets, then we are sons of prophets. Sometimes you don't even realize what we are doing. Sometimes you don't even realize that our customs and our minhagim are, well, there's reason for them. And that's why it's very hard to, sometimes we don't really realize, we find it a bit, there's always good reasons for it. I just saw, that's maybe a bit extreme. It's a bit of Chassid Shemaisa. I don't like Chassid Shemaisa so much, but just to point something out. The one of the, I forgot not to which godly was. I saw it, Mamash on Shabbos, and I forgot, I saw this, I got new safe with stories. And I forgot, somebody said that he was concerned that his son was not keeping mitzvahs with great dikduk. He was concerned. His son wasn't mahadin in all the mitzvahs. He was very, very lenient in many mitzvahs. He was concerned about it. So he went to the Rebbe. I forgot now who it was. It's going to come back. Hope. And he went to the Rebbe and he said, why is it that my son is not keeping the mitzvahs properly? And then he asked him, tell me by the Sudas Bris that you had, was he by any chance Pav or Milchik? He said, yes, it was Erev Pesach. I think it was Erev Pesach, and it was very rushed. We couldn't make a flash. We couldn't pull off a flash exuda. So we did a fish suda. He said, well, if you're doing a fish suda for the bris, then would you expect that your son is going to be machmer? It's a bit of an extreme story, and I'm not taking responsibility for that, but it's an interesting story. But I'm just saying that the minhagim of Klal Yisrael is all well, but there's always very much to it. The reason why I'm saying that is because what's the minhag that, what fish do we eat? What's the minhag in Klal Yisrael, what fish do we eat? What do you eat? What fish do we eat on Shabbos? Gefilte fish. And why do we eat gefilte fish? Why do we eat gefilte fish? I don't know if that's universal, pardon? Yes, that's right. And therefore, that's why there's no boira. The minhag to eat gefilte fish might have to do with the poverty of the Yidden of yesteryear. Probably has to do with that. Shonen for sure has to do with it. But yes, the gefilte fish probably also has to do with poverty. It's not a good part. Gefilte fish is not necessarily the good, the best health, But more than that, the reason is probably because there's no boira. There's nothing to take out.
Well, you sometimes find
sometimes, but generally it's quite, Yeah, generally it's fine. Yeah, generally it's fine. Depending on the cook and the man and so normally it's fine, and that's probably the minig. Why? Because, but the question is a bit of a question because the minig, if that's the minig, the minig is also some families are very makbit to have proper fish on Yom Tov, not to have gefilte fish on Yom Tov. I don't know if that's a universal minig, but I think that's quite common that on Yom Tov you have dafka proper fish, not gefilte fish. A lot of families have that minig, and there it's actually not so partial, because it's true that really there is no boir on Yom Tov. But it's not so posh either. But maybe that's the makor that we but probably on Yom Tov is no boira, so that's why.
Those people don't have then what are called fish with bones on it on Shabbos then.
Yeah. I think that's probably the general minhag. No, is that true? Generally, people have gefilte fish on. You don't have fish with bones on Shabbos generally. Although halacha it's mutter. It's probably mutter. If you take it in your mouth and you move the bones out of the fish, this is mutter.
But if you've got the bones and you're taking the bones from the fish or the fish from the bone.
If you're taking the fish, if you have a fish in front of you on Shabbos Kodesh, and you're taking the bones out of the fish, that is a Torah chiyuv. That is Torah. If you're taking the bones out of the fish, that is a Torah issa of Meleches Boira, according to all opinions.
And would that be if you took the fish from the bone, the other way around?
If you're taking the fish out of the bone, which is pretty difficult,
yeah,
unless it's in your mouth, yeah. But if you're taking it from the table, that's pretty difficult. It's very difficult.
Would it be fine.
Well, that would be fine. If you know how to do it, then you're doing
probably. If you're taking the bone from the fish, it wouldn't, but if you're taking the fish from the bone, it would be okay.
Indeed. Okay. Yeah. And if you're taking from your mouth, that's certainly fine as well, because there again, you have taken the food out of the, and then you're taking the psoilis out, that would be fine. Now, Rabbi, I want to ask a question. What do you tain about the following shaila, which the poskim, the contemporary poskim, discuss? Imagine a little dessert, little spoons for dessert, and after benching, you take everything out, and one of the little spoons goes flying in the dustbin. Together with the, you know, little spoon goes in the dustbin. Okay. Now, you've noticed it, which is a chiddush in its own, but you want to now pick the spoon out of the dustbin. Can you do this, yes or no?
Wait till after Shabbos,
but then the dustbin is going to be piled up to the ceiling. You won't find it anymore. Okay, but you have to, okay, my question is, do you have to do that? Do you have to wait till after Shabbos?
It's disposable spoon.
No. Yes.
What's the problem?
Boiler.
You're taking good from bad.
It's not good for you, is it? Because you're not going to use it, but you're just going to chuck it in the sink until after Shabbos, aren't you?
Yeah, you're going to wash it up.
But what is the action of taking the spoon out of a dustbin, is that considered boiler? Because of oichel, metoich, psoilis. I think we all agree that what's in the rubbish is considered. I think so, yeah. So, but the spoon now...
Wash it in cold water. Take it out and wash it in cold water and use it.
Oh, that's interesting. Very interesting. But let's go. It's, wait, 1 sec. It's very interesting. But is the action considered the action of boiler? Very good. That's really interesting. Okay. So, Rabbi Yisai, it may come as a bit of a chiddush. Is that chiddush or not? But the poskim agree unanimously that the action of taking a spoon out of a dustbin is considered boiler. Probably min adoira. Because this is a tauvus. It's a mixture, right? It's a mixture. Pretty much, honestly, rubbish is empty, but otherwise, it's a mixture. And you are taking out the spoon out of a mixture. You cannot claim that it is not a mixture. It's not a tauvus. It's not mixed. It is. It really is. Spoon in the dustbin is a small spoon in the dustbin. Is a tauvus. And therefore, and it's also, you're going to agree, that it's called oichel metoch psoilis. Yes, of course, admittedly, you're not going to eat the spoon. But the fact of choosing it and selecting it, still considered boiler. Oichel metoch psoilis. So you've got a problem over here. But the Eitzah is, which Reb Shlomo Zalman and Rav Eliashiv were perfectly matir, they said, okay, fine, it's boira, but if you use it, it's going to be bad. But now, using, let's get it. Okay, so washing itself is not considered a shtamshus. Washing itself is not, you can't take it out, wash it, and then put it away. That's not good enough. Because you haven't used it. You wash it cold, and then eat something with it. Alternatively, what you could do is you'd use the spoon then for taking things, you know, what's on the plate, you remove it, you put it in the dustbin through that spoon, hoping that it's not going to fall in again. But as long as you use it, it's fine. But you need to make sure that you're actually making an achila, as it were, to make an ishtamshus out of this spoon, otherwise you're going to be over on boira. I think it's a very nice example of boira, or the Mishnah we mentioned over here. Mishnah brings a boira with regards to kelim, and that would be, I think, a nice example of that. But if you're using it, I must say there's a bit of a chiddush with regards to that ishtamshus. Reb Gideon, do you think that ishtamshus of washing it up and then using it, do you think that it's straight, it's poshut, or do you think there's a chiddush here? What's the chiddush? I agree.
You're finding a reason,
that's right. In Loshna Poiskim, it's called Heroma. A legal loophole, it's a cheating, really. Because you could really have done very well without that spoon. You could have done it without the spoon. You could have used another spoon. You could have used something else. Right? Yeah, if you want to use that last ice cream, you could have used a fresh spoon. You could have taken a plastic spoon. Why? Dafke taking it out, washing it off, and use that spoon. So that's a real legal loophole. But nevertheless, yes, it's considered, it's fine, it's acceptable, it's mutter, and the Gdolei HaPoskim agree that you can do that. Because lemaaseh, at the end of the day, it's a chila, tzorich noch psoilus, and it's a shtamshus
le'alta. You can argue the name of his legal loophole.
Yeah, so...
I mean, one of my colleagues, when he heard about it years ago, he said to me, isn't it cheating?
Yeah, so this is a very legitimate question, because at times Haroma is mutter, at times legal loopholes are also, and it's a legitimate question. It can always be asked and addressed. And the answer is always interesting, and it's a topic in its own. When is legal loopholes permitted and when not? So in this example, we're learning now that legal loophole is mutter, and the Eruv is in the discussion in its own, but it's definitely a legitimate question. Okay, having said this, this is what we covered tonight. We went over the Mishnah Berurah in greater detail about the fact that it is also boil with regards to Kelim and Bgodim. We learned that we completed Siv Gimel telling us that if you're doing a boira la'achazman, even if it's a boira b'yoyim, it's still chayev. So in other words, if you're doing a boira and you're not using it now, but you're using it in the afternoon, it's chayev min ha'toira. And then we spoke about the fact that Mishnah Berurah's chiddush that removing things, the action of removing is not considered boira, and that is all considered part of the achila process, and that's mutter. It's a very big chiddush and a very important, essentially, certain Mishnah Berurah. Good evening, Abbasai.